Now, so often in Christian circles, we seem to think of the lost as being those who are unsaved. But that's not necessarily true. That's not really what the Scripture completely teaches about the lostness of man. There's more to it than that. I want to say to you tonight that you can have made your commitment to Jesus Christ and then through circumstances get away from the Lord and enter into a state of lostness. Whatever that lostness is, doesn't mean that you're going to lose your eternal salvation, but it does mean that you are in a state of lostness. And tonight, my heart is burdened because next Sunday night I want to preach on the unpardonable sin. I can hardly wait. Today wasn't a real good day. In many ways, the watch that my parents gave me 37 years ago on a special occasion decided to stop. And I said to my wife, I'll have to have the time factor tonight. And many of you know of the great Aboriginal painter, Namajiro. I have a treasured possession here tonight. I have his watch. It was given to me just after he had died as a memento. We won't go into why I've got it, but I can assure you no one's going to get it. But you know, there are times, even when a watch gives up on our wrist, and there's no other timepiece around us, we're lost because we cannot tell the time without a clock or a watch. It wasn't so when I was a boy growing up on a farm. We had learned to tell the time by where the sun was, by where the stars were at night. And so there are many ways in which we can be lost tonight. But tonight I want that we look at this tremendous truth, and it is this. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has three things of great value for us in his words. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. When Christ was speaking of the lost, he was referring to mankind, and he was speaking about you and I. And why was Christ so concerned with lost humanity? Because Christ knew that man is of great value to him. And even in his lostness, man is still of great value to the Lord Jesus Christ, and every effort must be made to bring him back to God. And I believe tonight that if every Christian knew the Christian doctrine of man, they would see the urgency in this statement of Jesus Christ in Luke 19. They would see the urgency that he came to seek and to save the lost. You see, the Bible teaches that man is of value because God created him. Now, it's always good to remind ourselves of God's creation. It's always good to do that. But nothing in all of God's creation is as valuable as man, woman, young person, children. And somehow or another we have to regather tonight in the Christian circles of today and believe it without any hesitation and reservation that man is precious and valuable not only because God created him, but because he is individually unique. But there is more. We need to believe that man is precious and valuable because God's Son was willing to pay a price that no human mind could ever comprehend to bring man back to God. Back to God. So in this gospel meeting tonight, may I remind you of a tremendous cost that was paid for you and me regarding our eternal salvation. You see, even there in the Garden of Eden long ago when man fell, the Lord believed that even the very man that fell, the man that he created, was not only valuable, but he had potential. He had potential. And what is this potential in man, in woman, in young people, in children that God sees, that the human eye cannot see? That potential that God sees is a place where God the Holy Spirit can indwell. And also God the Father and God the Son can make their abode. Do you know, beloved people, when I think of that, that moves me deeply. All for years we think or have thought that God longs to dwell in great temples, great buildings. And if you travel the world, as some of us have been privileged to do, you'll see great cathedrals. And I've stood in some of these great cathedrals. I've looked at some of the architecture. I've seen some of the beautiful stained glass windows. And they're all magnificent in their own right. But God didn't see the potential in them that he sees in you. And one of the greatest truths of the gospel message is that your life and mine is meant to be the indwelling place of God. But the greatest tragedy today is that man does not see his value or how valuable he is to God. You see, man tries to live without God. And so does woman. So do young people. And when man or woman or young person does that, they are in an eternal state of lostness without Christ. You know, in Luke chapter 15, our Lord told three stories. He told the story of the lost coin. Then he told the story of the lost sheep. And then he told the story of what is commonly known in Christendom as the prodigal son. But it's not really the prodigal son at all. It's a parable about a loving father. And you know, over the years I've pondered Luke 15 until I realized one day that a coin could not be redeemed. And then I realized that the woman had to find the coin. And then one day I realized that an animal cannot be redeemed. There'll be no pets in heaven. Sorry about that, animal lovers. And then it suddenly dawned on me that the shepherd had to go looking for the sheep. Now, I grew up on a farm, so I know how stupid sheep can be, and especially if you have to go looking for them in the middle of the night when it's snowing, like it used to do at Orange many years ago. As a matter of fact, it snowed Christmas Day, 1946, and we had to go and hand feed the sheep. And then I came to the story of the loving father, or the prodigal son, as you have been taught it so long. And I suddenly realized the woman had to find the coin, the shepherd had to go and find the sheep, but the loving father never left home for the wayward son. And I pondered that theologically and biblically for a while, and theologically I didn't get too many answers. And then as I sat down with my Bible and with the Lord, I started to get the answer nice and loud and clear. There is a state of lostness within man that can never be in a coin, that can never be in a sheep or any animal. And that state of lostness has to be recognized by the one who is lost. And because I love to go back and see what the original Greek language says, I went back and had a look at the contents of Luke's writing regarding the prodigal son. And when I came to that passage where it says, he came to himself, all of this beautiful doctrine of the lostness of man started to unfold. Because in the Greek it means he came to a realization of himself. He came to a realization of his need. And then he said, I have sinned. I have sinned against my Father and against the host of heaven. And what does our Lord say when he says in the two Gospels regarding the sinner who comes home through true repentance? He says, unless you confess me before men, I will not confess you. But he said, if you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And then in Luke's Gospel, he says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the holy angels in heaven. And that young man in the pigsty, when he came to a realization of his lostness of himself, he said, I have sinned against my Father and against the holy angels. And you know, as Christ told that story, you could see the divine plan of the Father. Even though he did not go searching for that boy, you could see the divine plan of that Father constantly seeking the lost son. Oh, that dear woman there in Edinburgh long ago when she wrote, there were 99, she did not know where the alcoholic brother was, but she knew that through prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ who came to seek and to save the lost would seek him out, would find him. And you know from that parable which you have been taught to be the parable of the prodigal son, I see man in his state of lostness, and I learn three things about man when he gets apart from God. One is hunger, the other is slavery to self, and the other is loneliness. Loneliness. Could it be that in this gospel meeting tonight, you are spiritually hungry? Could it be that you're not feeding your soul the Word of God? Could it be that you are in slavery to self? You are so occupied with self that you have no time to be occupied with Christ? Or could it be tonight that you are lonely, lonely, ever so lonely? But I have good news for you tonight. You see, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel he preached has embedded in it a purpose for your life. Listen to what Christ said when he began his ministry. He said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, repent and believe the gospel. Believe. Now, when Christ preached the gospel, he did not say, repent and believe and leave it at that. Christ put the gospel in the context of a world purpose. Christ said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in simple language, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying tonight to you and to me, will you fit your life into my kingdom? Will you fit your life into my kingdom? But for the man or the woman or the young person who is outside of Christ in the kingdom of God, lostness in relation to God means that they cannot find their way back to God until there comes a realization of themselves, as did the realization that came to the young son in the pigsty. He came to a realization of himself. I have sinned. I have sinned. Or maybe tonight in this gospel meeting you are searching for God, and so far you have made no progress in finding him. You perhaps are in a muddle. You are confused. Oh yes, you know the lostness in relation to the world, and you know that that means that you cannot find your place in the world. Indeed, you cannot find your significance, your identity, and you feel that there is nothing to live for. Nothing to live for. Tonight here in Brisbane, as well as all over Australia, and indeed all over the world, there will be millions of people tonight who, like that young man long ago in the pigsty, but many tonight will be in padded pigsties. They will sit in comfortable seats. They will lie in comfortable beds. They will be in their comfortable pigsties, and yet in a state of lostness. And unless they come to a realization of themselves and cry from the inner depth of their being and say, I will arise. I will go to my Father and say to him, I have sinned against you and against heaven. You see, when Christ spoke of lostness, he had all of those people in mind. He had you in mind. And I remember that Tuesday night in May in 1959 at the Billy Graham Crusade. When I went to that crusade, I was lost. I was in a state of lostness. And I didn't realize that the Son of Man would come and seek me that night. But he did. He did. You see, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And in Luke 19:10, it is the Son of Man, the Son of God, who came to seek and to save the lost. And you know that verse in John 14:6, where Christ said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And my understanding of Scripture is simply this. When I read a verse of Scripture like that, it doesn't tell me what a lot of sermons I've listened to say, and it doesn't tell me what a lot of theologians say either. It simply tells me this, that the Son of God has to find me first. And I have to find the Son of God. And when I do, I can come to the Father through the Son who found me. You see, that Son who was lost in the pigsty had to be found by a Son, not by a Father. He had to be found by the Son of God. And how many times we read those stories and we never see these truths. You can only find the truth if you spend time in prayer and say, Lord Jesus, what are you teaching me? You see, Jesus Christ claimed not only that he was the way to God, but that there was no other way to God. You see, the heathen may say, how dare Christ claim that? But he can, and he does, because he is the Son of God. But in the book of Daniel, we have the scripture from which Jesus Christ claimed the title Son of Man for himself. And in that vision of Daniel, the scripture says, I saw in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting. It's an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Daniel had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate existence. And it was from that Christ, the Son of God, took the title Son of Man. Now what we have here is this truth, that the title Son of Man is one concerning Christ's humanity, and also a title concerning his glory. Now I ask you, was Jesus Christ what he said he was? What did he claim? Please let me read you Matthew 11:27, where Christ is speaking. He says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This, beloved, is either sublime truth or the most dreadful arrogance and untruth I've ever heard. But for me, it is sublime truth. And tonight in this meeting, the good news of Jesus Christ comes to you again and says that Christ came from God just for you in order to bring you back to God. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Beloved, it is not God who is hiding. Oh no, it is man. It is God who is the seeker. It is God who is saying to man, where art thou? He is saying it to woman. Where art thou? He is saying it to the young person. Where art thou? You see, Christianity is the divine search after the sinner. The search after the valuable individual. After the person that Jesus Christ has called the lost. That valuable human being in whom Christ sees potential. May I say this to you in the spirit of love? I have people often say to my barrel, we cannot fully comprehend that he was an alcoholic, drug addict, into witchcraft, illiterate, couldn't speak. And she said, oh, he was. She said, I lived with him for 6 years, I know. I want to encourage you tonight by saying this to you in the spirit of love. When the Son of Man came to seek me on that Tuesday night, to seek me and to save me, from his point of view, he saw this concept which was his in eternity past. He saw the value of man. He saw the potential of man. And tonight, beloved, you are valuable to Jesus Christ. For in you, he sees the potential that you cannot see. For indeed, in being honest with you, had I realized then what I know now, I would have said to my buddy, have another schooner, we're not drunk enough yet. For indeed, there's no finite mind could fully comprehend that magnificent, and not only magnificent, but divinely ordained value and potential that God sees in the lost. You see, the gospel message is that God has come down in all of his glory in Jesus Christ to search for you and to save you. And Christ had come at a tremendous cost to give you eternal salvation and to welcome you back into God's presence. That is why the Bible says that even the very angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who truly repents. Oh, we read that story in Luke 15 of how the father, when he welcomed home the lost son, how they made a party and made merry and killed a fatted calf, and there was a great celebration. I want to tell you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, that when a sinner truly repents, there is a celebration in heaven. Want to say amen? I didn't tell you what might be going on in hell, but it doesn't matter. What goes on in heaven that counts. I want to ask you tonight, are you prepared to admit that you have strayed from God? You see, that young son in the story of the prodigal hadn't broken his relationship with his father. They were still father and son. And so often when we get saved and we allow other things to crowd into our Christian lives, it's not the relationship that gets severed, it's the fellowship. And then we go off and we drift. We fail to have our daily devotional, our quiet time. We fail to get to the prayer meetings. We fail to get to the meetings of the church. We fail to meet God. And it isn't long before we begin to grieve the Holy Spirit. It isn't long before we move into a state of lostness. And it isn't long before we drift in the mind miles into a far country. Beloved, the moment you admit that you are lost and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord, you will know this truth. You will know it as assuredly as Zacchaeus knew it. This day is salvation come into this house because Christ is seeking the lost tonight. And I want to say this with the spirit of love. You may have been a Christian and in name only for many, many, many years. But you're lost. You're in a state of lostness. And perhaps tonight you've come to a realization of the truth of the gospel message as you've never realized the truth before. And you too, like that young man in the story that Christ told, you've come to yourself tonight. You've come to your senses. You've come to a realization of who you are. And right now, in your innermost being, you are saying, I have sinned. I have sinned against my Father. Oh yes, he's your Father because you're saved. And you used to call him Abba Father, but you don't nowadays. And you're crying now, I have sinned against my Father. I will arrive and I will go to my Father and I will tell him the truth because I don't want to stay in this lostness anymore. We're going to pray and I want you to be very honest because God the Holy Spirit is working in this meeting tonight. He's here, he's warm, he's very real. I want you to be honest tonight. And if you wish to come forward that somebody will pray with you, and you do that, if you're having difficulty in coming forward, you ask someone else to come with you as long as you come. And I don't care how many times you come, as long as you get right with God. And tonight you can be cleansed afresh. Tonight you can be made whole again. May we pray. Our Father, we thank you for your holy presence in our midst tonight. We pray now, blessed Holy Spirit, that you will do your work and that you will glorify Christ in our midst. Amen. We're going to sing 232, Just As I Am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that's how God wants you, just as you are. That young man in the pigsty, when he says, I have sinned against my Father, I have sinned against the host of heaven. That's how God wanted him, just as he was. He didn't have to wait till he had a shower and a shampoo, got some nice new clothes, smelled better, honor. God wants you just as you are. Allow the Holy Spirit to do his own work in your life tonight, so that you can get honest with the Lord.